But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. I speak to you in the name of the undivided Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My maternal grandmother was born in 1898. 1898. When I was in high school, one of my friends had a project, a history project, and so he recorded an oral history with my grandmother. She'd grown up in the mountains of North Carolina, and she remembered going to her grandmother's house in the wintertime in a sleigh pulled by horses. She spoke about seeing the first automobile, the first of pretty much everything that we consider normal in the modern world. Because, of course, there was a time when there was no iPhone, no microwave, no telephone. There was a time when this or that was the first. And then she spoke about other first things, experiences. The First World War, the influenza pandemic, the Great Depression, the Second World War, the Red Scare, communism, and on and on. She lived nearly to her 100th birthday, and she lived through what no small number of historians consider one of the darkest centuries in human history, a century when normality was fractured and remade again and again and again. And that experience seems to me to be the kind of uncertainty that Jesus is pointing towards in today's gospel. Luke wrote that once Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, you remember Palm Sunday, he comes into Jerusalem and the people rejoice, and he goes into the temple and he drives out the money changers. And that every day after that, he went to the temple and taught. And the people were spellbound by his wisdom. And on this particular day, one of the days that followed Palm Sunday, that we just heard in our gospel, he has just seen the widow who put all she had into the temple treasury. Quote, "She out of her poverty has put all she had to live on." Then some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. That's how this story unfolded. And then Jesus critiques his people's religious system that has gone askew. He names what he sees so that people have to face reality. This is one of the things I love most about Jesus. He is a great prophet. And as the prophets do, he speaks God's truth no matter the cost, including his life. Again and again, as long as he lives, Christ proclaims God's truth so that the world may face reality, and so that people like me and you may choose to change more and more, so that God's people may be ruled by God's mercy and God's love. That is what the reign of God is. That is the kingdom that we pray is coming. So, when some were speaking about the grandeur of the temple, Jesus met their gaze, their starry-eyed gaze, with the gaze of truth. None of this grandeur will last. A few verses later, he says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." All manner of normalcy will be shattered, and you must be ready to live through that experience in faith and hope. Sadly, our lectionary omits what I think is the entire point of what Jesus is saying in this passage about 20 verses later. And he concludes, he says, "Now, when these things, the shattering of normality, when these things take place, stand up. Stand up and lift your heads." If you place the hope of your life in what is normal and safe and predictable, how will you live when normal is replaced by reality? How will you persevere when your parents decline and die? When your failed business bankrupts your family? What happens when political leaders start wars or when there's an outbreak of a disease? I've lived through some personal shocks and tragedies, and I know not one of you who has not. Did it not feel like the end of the world? Certainly the end of your world, mine. About 30 years after Jesus was crucified by the Roman Empire, the Emperor Nero went mad. Rome burned, and he blamed Christians for that great fire. And he mercilessly persecuted and violently murdered and tortured Christians in Rome. Some of the same Christians to whom Paul addressed his famous letter to the Romans. And a decade later, the Roman army obliterated a Jewish revolution resistance movement. They sieged the city of Jerusalem, and they sacked the city, and they looted the temple, and then they set it ablaze, and it burned. And when nothing was left, they tore down what was still standing. And a few years after that, Mount Vesuvius erupted. And it changed the weather and the color of the sky of the Mediterranean for over a year. And after all of that, about that time, Luke wrote his story about the life and the good news of God's love in Jesus. For his community of Gentile converts, churches who were afraid, people and families who had suffered, maybe people who had fled and become refugees. We are their descendants. We are their descendants. The descendants of those who held onto faith through famine, through disaster, through war, through collapse. And through all of that, they celebrated Easter. They gathered in homes and they prayed and they broke bread and they baptized one another. And they buried one another. And yes, through the centuries, our ancestors also failed to reach the fullness of what humanity can become God's promises and God's dreams for creation that will remain alive and true and endure until the end, whenever and however that may come. It is in the midst of the chances and changes of reality that we are to testify to the love that sustains us. You received, I believe, a stewardship letter last week that very gently touched on this call to testify. The sky may not be falling today, but one day it will, and Christians need to know how to get through it. People need to be ready for the day that is not expected. In that letter, we asked all of you to pray and reflect on two different pledge requests. One is about financial resources. The other is a pledge to invite people to experience something that you love about St. Paul's, something you love about God. What is it that keeps you here rather than any other place, any other faith community? What is it about this Episcopal faith community that matters enough to keep you coming on a chilly Sunday, or a hot Sunday, or a wet Sunday? What is it that God has stirred in you that keeps you here? That is your testimony, or it certainly is the start of it. And sharing with others what is true about how God is working in your life through this church. Where are your hopes and where is your excitement? Share these things with others and invite them to experience it for themselves. Love, relationship, connection, trust, wisdom. These are the things that increase as they are shared. The more you give of these, the more you have. I shared that quote a few weeks ago from the Reverend Mark Oakley. The more you give of these, the more you have. That is the gift Christ has given us so that we can survive the chances and the trials and the tribulations of life. And not just survive, but live with joy and freedom from fear. I imagine how many times throughout her long life, my grandmother, in chance and tribulation and trial, probably read from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. And how many times Christians through all the ages have awoken to the end of normal and turned to read these words. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What then are we to say about these things? The trials and the tribulations. If God is for us, who is against us? And of course, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship? Will distress? Persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Paul knew firsthand about suffering and about testifying and about mission. And here we are in 2019. We have so many blessings to use for God's work. And so I invite you, actually I implore you, to pray about how you can use who you are and whatever you have to share the hope and the joy and the freedom that God gives you every day. Amen.